Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be talking about Jordan Cooper versus Christian nationalism. Now, Jordan Cooper is a Lutheran Christian YouTuber. He has about 56,000 subs. Pretty good amount, if you ask me. And he's against Christian nationalism, which is not a surprise coming from an established Lutheran commentator. They tend to not be super based. Comment below if you know some based Lutheran YouTubers out there. I'd love to have him on for an interview or something. So anyway, he's been attacking Christian nationalists lately, so I wanted to talk about that. I also have been wanting to talk about his position on this issue for a while, but now is definitely the time because he's attacking Christian nationalists behind blocks. It's kind of cowardly, if you ask me. But we're also going to talk about his pathway to victory. This is how he thinks we can win. And we're going to discuss how much does this guy understand what time it is versus how much is he living in the past. So anyway, we're going to dive into that. But first, I want to let you know, Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over at our Patreon-like system at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. That's linked in the description below. We also have a free newsletter that gives you Christian news in your inbox each and every day. And the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast. If you are new, that's the best way you can help a channel grow on YouTube. So, with that said, let's get into Jordan Cooper's most recent video on Christian nationalism. We're going to play a couple minutes of this just to get a baseline for what he believes about it and what he believes about Christian nationalists. This is about from 5 months ago. Sorry, 53,000 subs. I slightly overstated.
What's surprising here, of course, is not that somebody who is secular and left-leaning is producing a documentary that is critical of a movement within Christianity. That kind of is something that, you know, we would expect. But the major reason why people are talking about this is that there are a number of pretty prominent Christian figures that show up as talking heads within this documentary. So we have certain figures, David French, Russell Moore, the Holy Post hosts, Phil Vischer, the VeggieTales guy, and then Sky Jathani, I believe, was in there as well. And there were some other people that were featured in there that I personally am not really familiar with, and I'm assuming probably not part of the broader kind of what's considered evangelical world, but I could be wrong about that. I don't know. Kristen Dumais was part of this as well.
So he just listed a bunch of names, but none of those names that he listed are really some people we should be considering Christians. Like, David French should not be considered a brother in good faith. He is not. He's a slanderer of the brethren. So he's an accuser of the church. Definitely not someone who should be considered a Christian. Phil Vischer is a theological liberal, supports abortion. Sky Jathani is another theological liberal. They co-host together. All three of those people do podcasts together on the regular. Kristen Dumais, another theological liberal, very much a proponent of critical race theory as well as sexual degeneracy and feminism. So, and then Russell Moore of Christianity or Compromise Today, as we like to call it. Russell Moore is not someone who operates in good faith. He is someone who sold out a long time ago and has been liberal for quite some time. He's been a very negative influence in church. So it sounds to me like Jordan Cooper believes that all those people that he listed were Christians, including Kristen Dumais, which is pretty astonishing. If you ask me, if you are someone who operates in the discernment space or even, you know, just a Lutheran, you know, conservative Lutheranism, and you actively are promoting those people as brothers and sisters in the faith. Anyway.
So I just have some things to say about this whole discussion. And let me start off by saying this. I have never considered myself a Christian nationalist. I am not a nationalist of any kind. I don't consider myself a nationalist. So I don't know how I could be a Christian nationalist if I'm not a nationalist, but I'm certainly a Christian. So, and I will say the two books that have been written by Christian proponents who actually use the name Christian nationalism to define something that they think is a positive thing. Both of those authors have me blocked on.
So the two books he's referencing are the Andrew Torba, Andrew Isker Christian Nationalism book, and presumably the other one is Stephen Wolfe's book, The Case for Christian Nationalism.
On social media. And both of those authors have said some pretty horrible things to and about me. So just to be clear, I'm not, those guys don't like me, and I'm not a proponent of that movement. And I do have serious concerns about those individuals. I do have concerns that a lot of the language, and Torba's probably been a bit more blunt about this, but a lot of the language that is used does seem to tend in the direction of a kind of ethno-nationalism rather than just a Christian nationalism. I think those are two very distinct things. So something that would be more a kind of nationalism that is religiously oriented but not race-based, I would point to Conservatism, A Rediscovery by Yoram Hazony, who's not a Christian, he's Jewish, but I think he has a lot of the same ideas. And I really appreciated his book, and I think he's a thoughtful guy. I don't agree with him on everything, but nonetheless, I think he's certainly a respectable guy worth reading, and I've enjoyed the things that I've read and listened to from him.
So couple of things to note about Yoram Hazony, who we just talked about. One is, I don't like the guy, and the reason why I don't like him is because he did a PragerU video back in like 2019 that was so cringeworthy, so terrible. And I lost all respect for the guy because he was just arguing some historical points that were completely in bad faith. And then secondly, he also endorsed the case for Christian nationalism, I believe. He's on the front or back cover with his endorsement. So, interesting side note that you're trying to, like, draw a delineation between Stephen Wolfe's ideas and Yoram Hazony's ideas. I would think that Stephen Wolfe is much more applicable to the Christian.
So you've got these guys who are using the term Christian nationalism who have ideas, again, that I disagree with. They don't like me, and they think I'm some kind of liberal compromiser, which, whatever, that's fine. But on the other hand, then, you have people that are critiquing what they call Christian nationalism. And in their criticism of what they're calling Christian nationalism, they're really lumping all sorts of ideas together. And this is the major problem with this discussion.
So That's basically all I wanted to show you, because he just listed his position on Christian nationalism. He also established that he is not friends with Christian nationalists. So fast forward, because that was in response to the Rob Reiner documentary that we've discussed on this channel for sure. And then he did this thread on May 7. He blocked me because I responded to his thread, by the way. So that was pretty cowardly, in my opinion. Because what I said was, you know, pretty based, by the way. And I'll say it again right now. But let's actually go through his thread here. He says, the left has pushed itself very far, very fast. The majority of the U.S. population is not comprised of radical progressive activists who believe that gender is a social construct. If conservatives just act like normal, decent human beings, we would win. So this is him answering a question. What is your grand plan to solve these issues? And his first plan was, if conservatives just acted like normal, decent human beings, we would win. So what's wrong with this statement? And first of all, majority of the American population was completely fine with transgenderism from 2015 to 2022. Bruce Jenner was 2015. North Carolina was pressured over bathroom laws in like 2015, 2016. They were laughed at it. Bathroom laws in, I believe, North Carolina were laughed at. They were ridiculed and derided back then.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power performance, and innovation you need. And now, for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It was completely forced down our throats to be, to conform with transgenderism, and most Americans went along happily with it. The normies went along with it. Do they believe it? No. No one actually believes in transgenderism, but they went along with it. So he's wrong there. Was he asleep from 2015 to 2022? That's what I said in the tweet, by the way, because that's just plain ignorant. Like, moving on. In other words, just be normal. Using childish insults is going to rally up a group of young disaffected white men, but is off-putting to the broader populace. Don't alienate all women, non-white U.S. citizens who make up a significant portion of the voting bloc. You can all theorize about your ideal all-white ethnostate with no women's suffrage, but it's not going to happen. Stop living in a fantasy land. So let's pause right there about don't alienate people. Donald Trump in 2016 won, and he alienated everybody. He alienated everybody. Women. Non-whites. He alienated. In 2020, Trump went the opposite direction. He tried to placate suburban women. He tried to placate black Americans. He tried to, instead of trying to reach out to Hispanic Americans even. So, you know, which campaign strategy do you want? The Trump that alienates or the Trump that placates? I mean, again, why did Trump trust in Anthony Fauci if it wasn't also to placate an election, certain voting blocks? Anyway, that was to his demise. Point three, he says, strengthen already existing institutions that promote values you believe in. Give them your money, time, and resources. If they start to drift, don't just start something new, but pressure them to redirect. What institutions would you suggest? I don't think that's necessarily stupid. I just think there's, you know, we've already been doing that. You do realize that hardly anyone gives money to the Republican National Convention. And that was a huge problem. That's why Ronna McDaniel had to leave. No one was giving her money because she was misusing it. So they had to take money from candidate donations. So, you know, you might think you're donating to a candidate, but the RNC is taking a hefty cut out of that. And that's basically how the RNC was being funded, according to candidates that I've spoken to. Number four, create support networks for conservatives and influential institutions where the environment is hostile. Put pressure on these institutions where possible to allow for divergent views. Yeah, I think people should already be doing that for sure, but that's not really a winning strategy. That's really just that really should be your point number one. Establishing a bond, which, again, what do you think Andrew Isker, you know, wrote a book about with the Boniface option? He pretty much talked about that, about the atomization and, you know, how individualism, we become too individualized, that we forget that we're part of a, you know, broader community, and that's made us very weak and vulnerable. So Christian nationalists are already on top of that. Number five, establish clear and strong pipelines for conservatives to get jobs through connections with other conservatives in their field. Gee, Christian nationalists are already bringing back the conversation about in-group preference, because there is one particular group that's very fond of in-group preference, and it's not that they're wrong for doing in-group preference. It's like we treat it like it's wrong when people in the church should be doing in-group preference for people in the church. I mean, how we love one another refers to inside the church. So there should be an in-group preference when it comes to jobs and other opportunities. Number six, live a normal life, get married, have kids, teach your children to act well, act with dignity. The divide between family-centered conservative life with strong education and leftist education methods will grow faster. Future generations will see what produced fruit. I agree with that. Again, Christian nationalists would also agree with that. He's not actually making a distinct plan here. Number seven, recognize whatever happens in our earthly kingdoms is not of greatest importance. Christ is reigning and ruling over all creation, and his internal kingdom is what truly matters. Focus attention there first and foremost. Again, that's a truism. But let's get on to him attacking Nate Fisher. So Nate Fisher, Christian nationalist, friend, for sure. Maybe one day he'll be on the channel. But anyway, he tweeted out, "I understand nostalgia for the Constitution or longing to restore the principles of the founders established. But if you will not accept the reality that is long gone, if you judge others based on fidelity to a set of principles that govern no one, then you are a fool." And this tweet apparently set off a huge conversation over the weekend. Jordan Cooper tweeted that out on May 19th, and he did so blocking Nate Fisher, and he's also blocked, you know, the Evangelical Dark Web. I'm using my personal account on him because, you know, what's the point in blocking people who have multiple accounts? But anyway, this has set off a huge conversation about the nostalgia for the Constitution. And I believe that the Constitution is dead. I lived through 2020. Do not tell me that the Constitution protects my freedoms. I lived through lockdowns. They do not protect anything. And I think it's just a piece of paper that only means what the Supreme Court says it means. Because basically, we live in a society where will to power is what matters. And maybe that's always been the society that we live in, that there is no such thing as a higher rule of law. It's really, you know, just who's in power and how are they willing to wield it. And that's really always kind of how things have been. But anyway, and I'm not talking about how things should be either, but anyway, Nate Fisher basically says that the Constitution is dead and that people have a nostalgia for something that, you know, is long gone. And if you judge others based on their fidelity to that, so how much you're devoted to the, you know, Constitution, and if you're judging someone for not constitutioning hard enough, you know, then you're a fool. It's basically what Nate Fisher's saying. And we can't constitution our way out of this problem because, you know, as a Christian, the Constitution has glaring flaws in it. You know, there is no biblical justification for the 19th Amendment, by the way. But that is something that needs to get talked about. These, you know, the 16th through 19th Amendments are called the Progressive Amendments, and they irrevocably wrecked this country. I don't think we can really reverse it because of the damage done. We cannot vote our way out of it. So those are just my thoughts, but maybe it's just millennial cynicism. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. But Jordan Cooper, you know, the idea of you're trying to be a Christian minister and all, and you're attacking someone over their fidelity to the Constitution or lack thereof. Nothing biblical about that. There is nothing unbiblical about what Nate Fisher said. Nate Fisher is a Christian nationalist, by the way, and, you know, quite prominent one at that. But there's nothing unbiblical in what he said, because the Bible supersedes, outranks, and it's not even close, the Constitution. So those are my thoughts on that. That's all I got to say for now. My name is Ray. This is the Evangelical Dark Web. If you like this kind of content, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast. If you are new, let me know what you think about what I think. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.